examine the fifth day of creation. And in doing that, again, I just want to marvel in our God. Bible says that the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth His handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech, night unto night there's knowledge. And again, His voice has gone out to all the earth. And so we want to hear His voice here today, and we just want to lift up Him in the creation that He has done. And I've got so tired of hearing people talk about millions and millions of years. And even, quote, air quote, Christians today think that God used evolution, that a day is not a day. And again, in our modernist churches, they quote the verse in Peter that says, a day is as a thousand years. And so when it says that on the fifth day that we're looking at today, that could have been a thousand years wrong. Well, that's balderdash, okay? That's a good word. It's in the dictionary. And it's not cursing. I would almost wax stronger than that. Again, it is a lie. It is deceit. It is, again, a heresy to the Word of God. And so we want to, again, just marvel in the creation that God has shown to us. And so let's go ahead and stand for the reading of God's Word. And let's look again in the account here in Genesis chapter 1. We've already looked at, again, if you would, the accounts of creation. And again, as we look at this one, again, we're up to the fifth day. I found out how easy it was to make these PowerPoint slides. And decided I'm ashamed that I didn't make one for day 1, 2, 3, and 4 again. It's amazing how many pictures are at your fingertips today. But let's go ahead and look at the Genesis account, Genesis chapter 1. And you follow along in your Bible as I would begin and read about 4 verses, starting in verse 20. Well, let's start in verse 19 of day 4. And the evening and the morning were the fourth day. And God said, let the waters bring forth abundantly the moving creature that hath life, and fowl, that they may fly above the earth in the open firmament of heaven. And God created great whales and every living creature that moveth, which the waters brought forth abundantly after their kind, and every winged fowl after his kind. And God saw that it was good. And God blessed them, saying, be fruitful and multiply, and fill the waters in the seas, and let fowl multiply in the earth. Verse 23 says, and the evening and the morning were the fifth day. Father, praise you for your word. I thank you again, Father, for being able to read, even on a fifth grade reading level, the announcement of how you created the universe. I apologize for our nation, and we confess the sins of our nation, that they don't believe a word of it, and ask, Father, again, that you'd just burn this into our heart all the more, that we'd love you and stand in awe of you, our Creator, and we give you the praise. In the name of Christ, we pray it this morning. Amen. You may be seated as we consider some things about this creation account today. I've got slides going here that make us look at some of the things that were created. And again, I like to mention, and I'll try to fit it in a little bit more detail, but when God created this old world, there was no death. And so nothing died. In fact, the world is created to go on perpetually. You and I are created to go on perpetually. But we do know that the fall of man caused, again, that there was then death. Before that, there was no death in the world. And I don't know if you've thought about that very much, but robins did not eat angleworms. Right? There was no death. Fish did not eat other fish. And so, again, as we consider these things, even as we watch some of these pictures go by, again, understand that the creation that we know is quite different than the creation that God created on this fifth day for the ocean and for the air. But as we consider some of those things, again, that comes with a further understanding. Also, I believe that after the flood, then things changed again, and there was another curse put upon this earth. And so the curses that were put on the earth have changed again dramatically. What we look at even in this creation account, and this here was all the more perfect, all the more good. And again, understand that the creation we see today is only a veiled reflection of the good that was created here on this fifth day. And so let's consider again some things about this fifth day creation. First off, I want us to consider that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of man. Here on the fifth day of our creation study, I want you to notice that there is life created. Yesterday, which would have been a Wednesday, there was created plant. And some people think plant is life again. But it doesn't say plant life, does it? And so here we find again that there is created that which has life. And I don't want you to miss the wonder of that. I remember Kent Hovind in teaching against the evolutionists said, I'll give you all the ingredients of life and you create life in your laboratory. All you got to do is take a frog and throw it in a blender and then put it in a bowl and hand it to them and say, okay, here's all the ingredients of life. Go ahead and put some life into this. And notice again that man cannot do that. Even though man does believe today, America believes, and it teaches again, that there's spontaneous generation of life. That two amoebas rubbed together in a primeval sea and started a discourse. I guess it was lower than that. Two amino acids first rubbed together and decided to become an amoeba, which decided to grow legs and get a PhD. And so again, when we understand that man believes that, sometimes I got to stop and back up and say, man believes in spontaneous generation of life? Yes, they do. And they believe that we are following a progressive liberal agenda and evolving to a higher life form and looking for a new world order. Be very careful of everything that's going on in America as we're progressing. I even hate that little Geico lizard that sells what? Progressive insurance. And he's made the word progressive almost comical, when really it is blasphemy against God. Boy, whenever you see that word progressive, our governor promises that he has a progressive liberal agenda. And he is going to install it in New York State. And he was voted in hands down this last time with his progressive liberal agenda. And so that should give you a little bit of bad, ugly feeling about where we are in New York State. And we're leading a nation down a path. And so as we consider here again that God made some good points in his creation account about the fact that creatures only reproduce after their own kind. And spontaneous generation of life that we're teaching our children in America is a lie. And the idea that if you keep breeding beagles long enough, you'll end up with a Clydesdale horse, although that is so illogical, we've got to say it out loud that is a lie. Amen. And so here on this Thursday, and I like to again point out which day of the week it was, because sometimes we miss it. On Monday, he created time, space, and a matter continuum. He created light, and he created water. On Tuesday, he created a firmament that divided the water from the water. On Monday, he created the firmament. On Tuesday, someone help me out. What did he create on Tuesday? Yeah, okay. On Tuesday, he created land, dry dirt. And dirt is so much bigger than what God describes on this fifth grade reading level. Understand that dirt is gold and silver and precious metals and all the 96 elements in our little chart that we have of elements. And all of that was created there on that Tuesday. On Wednesday, we looked at this last, on Wednesday, we looked at this last Sunday, okay? Don't want to confuse my days here. But on Wednesday, he created all the stars, including the sun, including the moon. And again, in that creation account, again, it's amazing to me how ignorant mankind is about that day of creation. Notice again that he created plants, and then there he created the sun. Notice that there was an evening and a morning on the first day, second day, and third day, but there was no sun until the fourth day. And so again, when we read again in verse 19 that the evening and the morning was a fourth day, I want you to know that that evening and that morning was different than any other ever in the existence of the universe because there was a sunrise on that day. Some of you got up to see the sunrise this morning. Okay, maybe not. Maybe we can watch it set. But again, understand that that was a day in creation. And so after that break, we got plant life created. Then we have the stars in the firmament, placed in the firmament. And now we are on this Thursday of creation, the fifth day. And we find that God created, well, let's read it. And God said, "Let the waters bring forth abundantly the moving creature that hath life, and fowl that may fly above the earth in the open firmament of heaven." I want you to see some miracle. I want you to see some detail here. First, notice again that it hath life. That hath life. And so this is the first creation of that life. Plants take minerals and produce food. Animals take that food and produce energy. Very good, all right. And so that's where we get our energy from. And again, notice in this creation account that God had a complete system there, had plant life already in place, and now again there was animals created, and particularly sea life. No land animals per se. Only that which is in the sea is where he began. And again, I don't know if he created mammals. Any biology students here that know the difference between a mammal and a non-mammal?
God did.
God did. Yeah, he knew the difference. Anyone else here know the difference?
Mammals have one root.
Okay, yes. Mammals have three things. They've got hair. Most of us do. Live birth and nursing of their young. Okay, and so notice again, it doesn't say specifically that mammals were here, but I do know that whales are mammals. They breathe air. Dolphins are mammals. They do, again, have, they do feed their nurse, their young, and that's hard for us to conceive, but that's the truth again. And so notice again that we're missing a bunch of details that are given here. We're not given insight to every little detail of it. This is a general overview. And so everything that lives in the ocean was created here. And I've tried to gather together a good assembly of things that were in the ocean. And I didn't get any shrimp in there. We had shrimp Friday night. I love shrimp again. And so notice again that there's a lot of things in the ocean that you and I are almost ignorant about. But again, all of it was created. And again, I say that when God created these things, they were good and they did not eat each other. I think if you watch eventually, you'll see a picture of a shark up here again. And notice again that I think he created sharks. But they were not man-eating sharks. Nor were they fish-eating sharks. And again, understand that when God says again in his creation account, it goes on for six chapters to give us more and more detail so that we could understand more and more of how this world came to be what it is today Don't miss the rest of the detail. But again, understand here that all sea life was created and that brought forth abundantly. Then look how it says this other creation. And fowl that may fly above the earth in the open firmament. I'll spend a little bit of time understanding what is the open firmament today. To understand that the Bible clearly teaches that there are three heavens. There's the heavens where the birds fly. And again, that is bordered by our atmosphere. And so they stay within that heaven, again, where there is air. Then there is the heavens where the stars abide, including our sun and including our moon. And so that is another piece of the firmament that's called the heavens in the Bible, where the stars fly. I was watching again the special on the Hubble telescope. Boy, I just can't get over that. The things that we learned when we launched that telescope and stared off into the blackest, darkest piece of space that we could see and found out that there's a billion galaxies having a billion stars in each one sitting in the darkest place that you could look into our universe. And again, that boggles the mind. And to the science so-called that tells us that we are billions of years old because it took billions of years for that light to get here, to which I say, balderdash again. Our scientists don't understand what it takes to move light through God's universe. And again, if there is an application for a day being as 1,000 years and 1,000 years being as a single day, it has more application to how light moves through the universe of God out at the boundary, the edge of that universe, than it ever has to do with the millennial kingdom of Christ, which agnostics, again, and our religions don't believe in the 1,000-year reign of Christ because 1,000 years is as a single day. And it has, again, everything to do with that and nothing whatsoever to do with this creation account. So be careful, again, how Christians twist God's word and try to make it say what they want it to say. The third heaven is past that boundary condition, and that is the heaven where God dwells. Three heavens. The heavens where birds fly, the heavens where stars fly, and the heaven where God dwells. All speaking very specifically of in your Bible. And there are three heavens. Remember, Paul was caught up to the third heaven where God dwells. Now, that's not to say that God's not omnipresent. He is present in all the heavens. But there is a place where He dwells in all His glory. And that's, again, that third heaven. And so, again, here's a firmament, and it's given a description. And notice what it says one more time above the earth in the open and firmament of the heaven. See the singular there on heaven? Watch out for modernist Bibles. They add plurals and it's just as little thing as an S stuck on the end of a word. In Hebrew, it ain't. In Hebrew, it's more specific. In Hebrew, there's three plurals. There's a singular, which means one. There's the plural, which means two. I've got two eyes, two hands, two ears. And those are a plural in Hebrew. And then there's the plural that means three or more. And so Hebrew is a very exacting language. English is a very sloppy language. And when you have translators who want to get their opinion into their translation, it becomes even sloppier. And so again, they're flying in the firmament, open firmament of the heavens. And I got another whole chapter. I won't bore you with that. But again, that's important that we understand what a firmament is in this description that God gives us. So let's look real quickly at these created creatures and understand again that another thing I need to point out is I'm not sure whether a whale in Hebrew is a whale and neither is anybody else. We don't know that it's a whale in Hebrew, and we're not sure that it's a whale in Greek. So when you try to make the Bible real exacting, and someone will argue that Jonah was not swallowed by a whale, he was swallowed by a... Anybody heard this? A what? He was swallowed by a great fish, okay, in the book of Jonah. But then all you got to do is say, hey, look what Christ said. He said he was swallowed by a... whale, okay? And so again, when we understand that there's not a biological distinction between mammals and fish here, but there is a distinction between fish and fowl in this verse. Do we see that? In Corinthians over there someplace, when he's explaining our resurrected body, he says there's one type of flesh of man, there's another type of flesh of beast, there's another type of flesh of fowl, there's another type of flesh of fish, and so they're all different. And we have to consider that when you're making up a menu for lunch. They're all made out of meat, okay? But certain ones we don't eat. And so, notice here again that we have the emphasis again is on the fact that all sea creatures, every one of them was created on this fifth day. And the diversity and all the amazing differences that are found in sea life, we're just now figuring some of them out. And so again, marvel at what he created and marvel at this all the more that this is the first creation of life. And it's not two amino acids coming together in a primeval sea. It is God creating life. And so as we look at the account some more, we see a distinction between the sea, life, and the fowl of the air. But notice also the procreation that's in this. So, hey, guys, pay attention. Here we go. We're going to start talking about the birds and the bees here, okay? Notice when God created plants, we're on Thursday, that was back on Tuesday. When God created plant life, he has a specific emphasis on the fact that they had fruit with seed in it, or they had seed of themselves, and they produced after their own kind. And so again, when we look at that, understand the miracle of that, that is procreation, the first of it. Rocks don't procreate. Again, the things that he had created to that point don't. But now all of a sudden we got this emphasis on a miracle of procreation. That again, these animals can reproduce. And notice what it says of this life. It says somewhere here that he blessed them. Verse 22, and God blessed them, saying, be fruitful and multiply and fill the waters in the seas and let fowl multiply in the earth. This is a big deal. And understand, again, here we have a procreation. Angels do not procreate. Never have, never will. God said so, and he's clear about it. And here we need a biology lesson to understand that that's the case for angels. And I'll emphasize that again because there are cult groups running around saying that angels and man reproduced and created some kind of a superhuman race, and now they're running Washington, D.C. I've been to Washington, D.C., and there's no superhuman race down there. There's a bunch of boggling idiots down there. And again, understand that when we're looking here at procreation, God made it specifically for a purpose. And it is always after their kind. And so again, all the theologies that teach again about angels mixing with man and making a new kind of creature that were giants in the land, balderdash, stay away from it. Understand they're usually going to end up on some anti-Semitic kill the Jews theme. And again, they're running down a wrong road. Creatures only create here after their own kind. Again, we need to emphasize that. And not only because of evolution, because a bunch of Christians are going off in some weird directions with a false teaching in that area. So consider procreation here. And I don't know how specific we want to get here, but there's a difference between whales reproduce and between the way fish reproduce and fowls reproduce. Okay, I want you to think about that for a minute. And someone tell me the difference. We'd already said it once. Live birth versus eggs. Okay. And notice again that an egg is most similar to a seed. When, in fact, that emphasis over in 1 Corinthians about seeds and or plant life being different than animal life and the different types of animal life, again, has to do with the fact that a seed's got to be put in the ground and it dies. And when it comes back up, it doesn't look like it used to. And listen, when you die and get put in the ground and you come back up, you're not going to look like you used to. That's the point in 1 Corinthians, that we die corruptible, but we're going to be raised up incorruptible. And there's a big difference in that. And listen, when you bury a little acorn, you don't get an acorn popping out of the ground. Instead, you get a tree. And so we have, again, the seed there created on that Tuesday. And now, again, we find out here we have an egg created. Notice the similarity, if I could, between a seed, again, that doesn't look anything like what you end up with, and an egg. I had one for breakfast the other day, and it didn't look anything like a chicken. If you go to YouTube, you can find a guy breaking his egg in the frying pan, and a chicken pops out. It's because they can lie to you. It used to be that seeing was believing, but boy, that ain't true anymore if you have an internet connection. They're all liars, okay? And so, what was my point here? Oh, an egg is different. But again, when we have procreation by live birth, notice that what comes out again, what we see again, is an absolute miracle. And it's mentioned several times in the Bible. David mentions, who can conceive that how bones are formed in the womb? It's a miracle. Boy, don't overlook the miracle that's in this blessing where God says, God blessed them. And understand this. What does it mean to say, when someone sneezes and you say, bless you? Why do we do that? Okay, I'm sure we get as many reasons as there are people here again. But again, the gist of it is that you're asking God to do something for somebody that they can't do for themselves. So kind of remember that. When you say bless, God bless you, you're asking God to do something for an individual that they cannot do for themselves. And it's good for me, anyway, to consciously think about that before I say, God bless you. But it makes you think, doesn't it? That, again, notice that when God says to you that you are created to bless the Lord, how are you going to bless the Lord? How are you going to do something for the Lord that He cannot do for Himself? Wow. That's some big shoes, isn't it? But listen, that's why He created you. That's why He created man. And God cannot bless Himself, praise Himself, like you and I, who have tasted of the mercy of God, who have tasted of the grace of God. God cannot bless Himself like you can bless Him. And that's why He tells you to bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. So notice here, God blesses these sea creatures and these fowl, and He says, be fruitful and multiply. I want you to know that procreation is something that man cannot do. It is something that God does. It is a miracle of God. It has always been a miracle of God, and it will always be a miracle of God. Notice that it is an act of creation that we call procreation. And it's a creation for a human, it's a creation of a soul. For these sea creatures, it was a creation of their own kind. And as God does that act of creation, I want you to think about here, we got a 7-day creation period that we're discussing and examining in great detail. And we have procreation looked at here to understand that the potato bug has a 7-day gestation period. The chicken has a 21-day. It's not 21 days at all. The potato bug has a 1-week gestation period. The chicken has a 3-week gestation period. The human, the elephant, the donkey, the cow. Listen, they're all measured in weeks. We measure them in months because we can't keep track of them numbers. But listen, it's in weeks. All of them are in weeks again. And there's a few exceptions, but they're rare. Almost everything that procreates, procreates on a weekly period. And so as we understand that, again, understand that it's a picture of what God accomplishes in creation here that we can't accomplish for ourselves. I don't know if I got the picture of the little chicks in here. I didn't want to put them in because they were in a corrugated cardboard box. And I don't know if there was corrugated cardboard boxes created on the fifth day. But again, understand that those cute little creatures that are hatched from those eggs, God did that. That's a blessing of God. That's a power of God. That's a miracle of God. The procreation and the... we always love to watch the horses born and see them come out and start running on the same day. I mean, it's just an amazing thing. Deer, again, we watch a fawn. And Beverly and I seen a fawn out in the middle of the field, and we just stopped and watched and watched and watched for hours again, thinking... And but then we had to move on, and so we missed the birth again. But again, the little fawn and the beauty of that and the wonder of that and the miracle of that. And probably we have a little bit of trouble. We're so far from the ocean, we don't have a lot of wonders to wonder at in the ocean. But again, that's what's going on in procreation. That's again these things giving, laying eggs and giving birth. And notice again that it isn't as quite as marvelous as what we're going to get to on another day. When again mammals again start this process, but again here as we look at this, just wonder at all the sea life and at the eggs that are laid, and the fact that God caused procreation to be a blessing, something that He did that they could not do for themselves. And then lastly, I want us to consider also that the world that we see today is not the world that God created. The world that we see today is under two major curses. First off is the curse when they were cast out of the Garden of Eden. Let's go ahead and look at that real quickly over in Romans chapter 5, a very familiar verse to most of us. I think if I remember the address right, it's Romans chapter 5 and verse 12. And Romans 5, chapter 12 says, this is the curse again that was upon Adam. And we will read of that in Genesis chapter 3. But Romans chapter 5 and verse 12 says, "Wherefore as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned." I want you to know that before Adam sinned, there was no death in this world. It was good. And again, there was no death. And as we study the Word of God, again, we understand that when Adam sinned, again, his sin, his rebellion, brought death into the world and brought sin into this world. And this world is under a curse that God did not create it that way. But we have fallen under the curse because man brought death into this world. Who brought leukemia into this world is the curse of sin. Who brought again the death of the innocent child into this world? It is again the sin that man did. Not that child did some sin. Don't be confused like the disciples were about that blind man. No, it was not that individual sin. It is the curse that happened in the Garden of Eden where death is now brought into the world. That's not God's original design here, was that all things would live forever and eat bananas and fruit and grasses and herbs without the H, I guess. And so notice again here that there was a curse. And things changed in that curse. And that curse affected the land, right? There was no weeds in the Garden of Eden. But all of a sudden, when the curse happened, all of a sudden dandelions started popping up all over the garden, okay? I don't know if dandelions really classed as a weed. It's a flowering herb, I suppose. It's edible, too, by the way. Notice the things changed in this creation when there was a curse. Secondly, there was another change, and that is, again, when God cursed this world with a world flood. And at that point, I think we have another major change I just want to look at real quickly. Turn to Genesis chapter 9. Genesis chapter 6, we find God decided, it repented God that he had made man upon the earth, for the thoughts and intents of his heart were only evil continually. And so God says, I will destroy man. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord, and he built an ark. The wonder is not that Noah could build an ark. The miracle is that the ark floated. Okay, so I know they're building a life-size replica of the ark just to prove that it could be done. But again, I don't need any proof that it could be done. If God said it was going to float, it's going to float. Okay, I don't care if they had a window in the bottom. God said he could keep the thing afloat, and he did. It is a miracle. As much as the flood is a miracle of God's destruction, the ark that was built is a miracle of God's creation. And Bill Nye, the science guy, took Ken Ham to task, saying, nobody can even build a ship that big. It's impossible to build a wooden ship that big. And he was, and his ancestors as shipbuilders, and it's impossible. They tried to build a 5-mast schooner, and it's impossible to build a ship out of wood that's this big as described in Genesis 6. And all you got to say is, no, man can't build one of them.
Amen.
But God can.
Amen.
And he says he did, and I believe God. Let God be true and every man a liar.
Amen.
Sorry, Bill Nye, the science guy. Look at chapter 9. This is again after the flood. And let's just go ahead and pick it up in the first verse. And God blessed Noah and his sons and said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. And the fear of you and the dread of you shall be upon every beast of the earth. And that's new, by the way. It's a new part of this curse. And notice again, every one of the curses, man tries to defy every one of the curses. If God gave a curse and said, by the sweat of your brow, you're going to earn a living, there's still going to be someone that's standing in a welfare line trying to get a handout for nothing. If God says again that the woman should be subservient to the husband is going to be the head, there's going to be someone who rebels against God's curse there, says, no, we're going to do it a better way. If God says that snakes are an aversion to women, there's going to be some lady with a snake wrapped around her neck saying, no, see, God's liar. Again, understand, man is always in rebellion to what God says. And here, notice again that we even try to tame all the beasts. See a guy this week with a snake around his neck that was, I mean, that snake was bigger around than my leg. And every fowl, and upon every fowl of the air, and upon all that moveth upon the earth, and upon all the fishes of the sea, into your hand are they delivered. Verse 3, every moving thing that liveth shall be meat for you. Even as the green herb have I given you all things. I would say to you that even the vegetarians and what do we call them now, vegans, they are in rebellion against God's word. And they say, oh, that's the way they did it in the Garden of Eden, and we're just trying to go back. That's balderdash again. They are in rebellion against God's word. And so be careful of that again in the lifestyles we choose and the directions we go. There's a whole bunch of rebellion in this world against God's word. But notice here again, it says in verse 4, but flesh with the life thereof, which is the blood thereof, shall ye not eat. And again, and notice again that here it's given that man started creating eating animals at this point. Before that, they didn't. And I'm presuming here and reading things into the Bible because of other references I know in the Bible to say again that probably before the flood, animals did not eat each other either. Nothing in creation ate meat. But again, now we have a change because of a curse that God put on this land. Those of you familiar with the account know again that Noah went out and got drunk after his building program. I've heard of preachers tempted to do that after their building programs. But again, notice that that's because there was a change on the earth. And before, there was no fermentation, there was no bacteria that broke down and destroyed the fruits of the earth, and now there was. Notice after death came upon the earth, in the first curse, that probably there was fungus, there was black mold even, perhaps, again. There was things, again, that took care of those dead bodies and put them back into dust. And notice that that's a curse that God gave. From dust thou came, and from to dust thou shalt return. And so, again, things changed in creation was my point here. And at the flood, there was another great change. And all of a sudden, this world became a vicious place. It was not so in God's creation. All of a sudden, this world became a meat-eater's paradise. It was not so necessarily before that. And so all of a sudden, the robins started eating angleworms. Okay, before that, they would only eat berries. And so we see again that the creation went through some stages. But boy, don't miss the miracle that there was life. The first, very first forms of life were created on this fifth day of creation. Sea life and fowls that fly in the air. I don't know if ostriches were created. They don't fly in the air. Neither do emus. I got some stories to tell you about emus, but that's for another time. They don't fly in the air. And it could be that was part of the curse, again. I don't know if there was great white sharks, as we saw in the picture. That could be as part of the curse. I don't know some of those things. But I do know, again, that when God created it, it was good. And we can only fathom how good that really was. Father, praise you again and thank you for the fifth day of creation. We marvel at it, we wonder at you, and we worship you today, our Creator. And as we look again at the progressive growth of things that you created in this world, we realize again that there probably really isn't a progression there. There's every bit of it is a pure wonder. Father, as we again wonder on you, help us to remember that it was your only begotten Son who did all of that creation. We get to walk hand in hand with your Son through this week. May we stand in awe of him. May we talk of all his wonders when we get up in the morning, when we go out, and when we come in, and when we lie down. May the name of your Son be on our lips. We worship him. We love him this morning. And we pray now in the name of Christ and for his name's sake. Amen. If you're here today and you don't have the Creator of the universe dwelling in your heart just now, boy, I'd encourage you. You get him there before you leave today. Jesus said, as many as call on me, I will in no wise, as many as come unto me, I will in no wise cast out. Jesus said, if you call on me, I will save you. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now there's some stipulations with that. Bible says you can't do it just to be saved from a dilemma. Bible says you can't do it just to be saved from a circumstance. I've seen a lot of teenagers, as a youth pastor I was, wanting to be saved out of circumstance, but they didn't want their life saved. They didn't want their life given to Christ, their Creator. They didn't want to call Him Lord. And so again, here today, understand that you could receive Him as your Lord, as your Savior, as your Redeemer, just by calling on His name. Let's go ahead and sing an invitation. All to Jesus I surrender. 308 in our hymn book. And let's stand, and as we sing, If you've never called on the Lord Jesus Christ. Now listen, maybe you have called on the Lord Jesus Christ and He didn't get in there. And if you've never called on the Lord Jesus Christ, I've heard it said that He'll save you till you know it, and He'll change you till you show it. So again, if you've never called on Him, to your satisfaction that He's made that difference in your life, boy, I'd encourage you, you call on Him today and do what the song says, I surrender all. All to Jesus I surrender.